is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything that you want. All you have to do is dial in toll-free. Our number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. The so-called alt-left. Now, I don't know what that is. Is that the Antifa people? Are those the alt-left?
I presume it's just the answer to the alt-right.
We've heard of the alt-right. Now the alt-left targeting the chairman of the FCC. We can talk about that coming up here. They're targeting him in his own neighborhood, apparently. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
And Melanie, you're going to start out tonight by telling us about a police officer who's been fired because he has not shot someone.
Yes.
So tell me more.
So because there are no good cops, because they, of course, get fired if they are, then this officer, there was a suicidal man who was with his girlfriend at home. His girlfriend decided to, and to be fair to her, I don't know that she knew she was calling the cops on him. She knew that she was dialing 911, which is calling the state on your suicidal boyfriend, probably not really the thing to do, but I don't really know what the thing to do is, so there's that, I guess. So the cops came, and she told them that he had an unloaded gun, which is not really a, to be fair to everybody in the story, is not really a valid adjective to put in front of a gun. So, I mean,
because you don't know.
Right, you don't know. I mean, even the clip could be out. There still could be one in the chamber. You don't know. I will, you know, fully admit to that. So the cop showed up. The one cop who is Officer Mander showed up. He has apparently all kinds of experience as a Marine, National Guard, and lots of officer experience. Apparently he is insinuating that he has some kind of psychology experience.
So dealing with crazy people?
Right.
Uh-huh.
So he, or combatants almost, it sounds like, I guess, which I guess you would get being deployed in Afghanistan where he was. So he showed up, he's trying to talk the guy down. The guy, apparently there's a gun somewhere, but the guy is not pointing it at anyone or brandishing it or anything like that.
Okay.
So there is a gun, which just a gun being in a drawer on somebody's hip or something is not a threat. You have to assume it's loaded. Absolutely. Like, yes, I agree to that. You have to assume it's loaded. But if it's not being pointed or brandished at anyone, then that's not a threat.
Right. It's just an inert piece of metal.
Right.
Knives kill more people than assault weapons do every
Sure, but they don't jump
America.
Off a desk and stab someone.
Right. So the point is there are knives in drawers in every home in America, and we don't shoot people over them.
Okay.
Right. So then another officer showed up, because apparently they, you know, just have to get bored and send all the officers at the in the county. So the other officer showed up. Then the guy, at which point the guy pointed the gun at the second officer. And so then the second officer shot and killed him.
All right. Which is what you would expect to happen.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But if the guy's talking to, and he did when the cop showed up first, he told them to shoot him. It seems like this was maybe his method of committing suicide, which.
That's pretty common. Suicide by cop.
So. But he's not having a problem with the first cop is the thing. Then the second cop shows up. It doesn't say this, and I wasn't there. I'm imagining that the second cop was a little bit more aggressive than the Afghanistan vet who is telling us about how he doesn't think this guy is a threat.
Okay.
So then he got fired for not shooting him.
Even though he himself was not feeling threatened.
Right.
Even though there would be no real justification for it. Like, the second cop was justified. I mean, all of us would have been justified in shooting that man in that circumstance. If somebody pulls a gun on you, you believe rightfully that your life is being threatened at that point.
I wouldn't say that that is justified, although I would say that it is reasonable, which are two different things.
What's the difference?
So, it's reasonable if you're committing an armed robbery and someone tries to shoot you that you shoot back at them. It's not justified.
He's still a cop.
That's what I mean.
You're saying because he's a cop, therefore he shouldn't have been there in the first place is the idea.
I wouldn't even say that because they were kind of summoned.
Sounds like they were called.
But
who called them?
The girlfriend.
Saying, well, my boyfriend's suicidal.
The 911 operator.
Yeah. I don't know the girlfriend did. I don't know that she expected cops to show up. Maybe she expected something. I don't know what she expected.
Mm-hmm.
But she called specifically. She called the state.
She called because he was suicidal.
Yes.
Was the idea. And then cops come up for a welfare check or suicidal man, potential suicidal man. The first cop feels like he's got the situation under control. He doesn't have to draw down on him because he hasn't drawn down, you know, he hasn't pulled his gun. Second cop shows up. Dude pulls a gun on the second cop, gets shot to death.
Yes.
Is the idea. And now they're punishing the first cop
for
because
not
he didn't do what the second
him,
cop
yes.
did, even though the situation was different with the first cop. That's what's happening here, right?
Right. They were saying that he should have decided he was a threat and shot him, basically. Not, wow. I mean, not even arrest him, but, you know, shoot him.
That's crazy so, to me. I mean, that yeah. seems like he wasn't a threat at all. He was a threat to himself until this second cop showed up and somehow put, you know, some level of fear in him to where he drew his gun on him.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like just being, it is a little bit complicated here because if you summon the police, them coming into your house is not trespassing. But that doesn't mean
not
that,
if she let him in.
Right, but that does not mean that everything else, that they're still not non-aggressors.
They're not the people I would want to have right. to deal with a suicidal person.
Right, and so kind of by being cops, they're aggressing, but that doesn't mean that everything that they do is aggressing. If they brush their teeth, that's not aggression, even though wearing the uniform is. So if they brush their teeth while wearing the uniform, brushing your teeth is still not aggression, wearing the uniform
now,
is.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Okay, so I get where you're coming from with the police, but in this case, could you really say they're aggressing if the person wanted their services?
They're
if,
not aggressive. Well, see, but that's the thing.
They're funded
doing two
through
things
aggression.
At the same time. I honestly don't care how they're funded.
Okay. Then what? Okay. So if you can ignore the fact that they're funded through aggression, which is how they're, you know, they get their paychecks.
Right. But I don't walk around making arguments as to why it's okay to kill on site librarians or road workers or, you know, anything else like that, because I don't have an argument for that, and I don't want one. So
there's no argument to justify what that cop there's no argument to justify what they're saying the first cop should have done. They're saying he should have shot an unarmed man or a man who was not posing a threat to him. So there's no way to argue in favor of that, and that's why it's just such a crazy story that the police department is saying that first cop should have shot this man. There was no reason for that whatsoever. The first cop, as far as I can tell, I mean, knowing what little I know about this circumstance, the first cop did the right thing by de-escalating that situation. Second
Sounds
cop
right.
shows up, escalates the conflict, and ends up with a dead body.
We don't know whether
hands.
The cop escalated the conflict. The cop walked
in. Well, for some reason, the dude felt like he needed to point a gun.
I mean, just having a second cop might escalate the conflict.
It might.
Maybe if I'm in a room with one guy who I think can take me and is hostile, I'm okay. Maybe if I'm in a room with two guys,
you might draw
the
gun.
Yeah. So that
Especially
in and of
if you're
itself,
crazy.
Which makes it a little bit more complicated because the fact that they walked in, they were invited, they were summoned.
Where's the aggression?
Being a cop.
Okay. But
because they're a valid target by being a cop.
Oh, God.
I think that you lose your credibility when you say something like that because the woman wanted them to be there.
Right, so that was not aggression. Them walking into that house was not aggression.
So just security, them breathing
security
is aggression?
Security services
is what you're
are necessary
say?
In every society.
Right, so
and currently
were,
we have a monopoly, or at least a cartelized security system
right.
that where the state or the local
At least this woman had not hired someone else, you know, to provide private security, so she was using the police right. as her security.
What this sounds like is, you know, poorly poor management and poor management of the leadership and management of the situation because, the one police officer had it handled. The other guy comes in, then the guy needs to get shot. I mean, how many cops do you want to walk off into this guy's house?
All right, we're going to continue. We can continue this discussion here in a moment. Our toll-free number, if you want to weigh in, you're welcome to join us here. 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. And you can Skype into the show at Skype username lrn.fm. This is Free Talk Live. Talk Live. Dial toll-free. Bring up anything you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE. 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, so Skype on over here at Skype username lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
And also, Mark, you've been wanting to tell give our listeners an update about hope.freetalklive.com, the plan that is afoot to help build an orphanage for some orphans in Uganda.
Right, that's the people we put in orphanages. In fact, we have managed to get the foundation is in for the building. So the foundation isn't like an organization that does the funding. I'm talking about, you know, concrete.
Rebar.
On which you build a building. And that's in. And I want to thank everybody who helped with it. We do currently have backing for matching funds. If you just go to hope.freetalklive.com, read the explanation there. We just set up a GoFundMe page. If that makes you more comfortable, you can go to there. Go there. I'll keep the total updated through all the different forms that I of money we receive to build the building. But, well, you know, what comes after the foundation? It's time to put the walls in. And I'm doling out the money slowly. I don't want to just, you know, drop $60,000 on some village in Jinja, Uganda, right? I want to make sure that there's progress for every penny that goes through. I believe strongly that people are donating based on my research into this, that they are trusting me. So therefore, when money is given to me, I'm going to do my level best to make sure it is spent as well as it possibly can. So if you go to hope.freetalklive.com, there are ways to donate. You know, I'll facilitate it if you want to use PayPal. You can go through GoFundMe, which is going to go through me. There's a way to send Bitcoin directly to one of the preacher man that's working with Nidifuna Johnson to build the orphanage. Nidifuna can also take bank transfers, Western Union, and those sorts of MoneyGram, that kind of thing. So there you go. It's hope.freetalklive.com. All I want to do is get these orphans into an orphanage it's so much cheaper to build a building there than it is here, but they don't have the money.
Sure.
And if they've got a place, if they can go to sleep, they can on a nice bed rather than them all sleeping and one's huddled up in one little room, which is what's going on now, then they can go to school and they can learn and they can make a better life for themselves. All they need is this building. Then they can start a garden. They can use the garden. They can sell the vegetables in town and they can kind of keep things going. So it's hope.freetalklive.com. This is not an ongoing project. This is just building the building.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts. We can talk more about the crazy police policy saying a man who was no threat to another cop should have been shot to death, apparently, by that cop. Melanie has that story, but we're going to go first to Stefan. He's on the line in Ohio on via Skype. Go ahead, Stefan.
Hey, guys. How are you tonight?
Hey, what's on your mind?
What's on my mind is I was listening to more of the show last night after I had called in, and you and Mark seemed to have a disagreement on secession.
Yes.
Yeah, Mark doesn't believe it's possible.
I just think it's kind of a silly conversation. I don't think it's going to happen. The states are too interlocked at this point. And I think that it drives a dividing line where it doesn't necessarily need to be divided. Yes, I think that states should have the right to secede. If you ask me that poll question, I'm there. Now, do I think it would be a good idea if New Hampshire seceded tomorrow? Well, I think it would be interesting, but it probably wouldn't be great for the businesses along the border. Many people who are in New Hampshire rely on doing business outside of New Hampshire. Suddenly turning New Hampshire from a state into a foreign country is going to make things very complicated, and I'm not sure that that's a real great idea for everybody. Go ahead.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but
You're
I heard
wrong.
You say something along the lines of you saying, well, why don't the states just nullify federal law?
That's a better idea.
Well, wouldn't the Supremacy Clause make that nearly impossible?
Well,
what's that?
In the United States Constitution, it says that federal law is law of the land and states can't overturn that.
Yeah, but in the Constitution, it also limits the federal government to a few certain areas, including maintaining a military, issuing currency, post roads, and I can't remember exactly what else. But and anything, and you know, the Constitution is very clear, any power not given specifically to the federal government is remanded to the states and the people, respectively, right? So the, you know, the you've got this conflict that's currently going on between the Supremacy Clause and the 10th Amendment. So,
well,
go ahead.
Sorry. Well, specifically what I wanted to know is, since you said that, what federal laws would you like to see nullified, if that's your idea?
I say we start nullifying them all and begin over. Like all of them is where I would start, and then you begin, you know, starting over. All I think the federal government should do from, you know, from a sort of practical standpoint. I'm for this organization going away, frankly. I don't think it's that valuable. It should be replaced with a contract. And that contract says, we, the states, will honor the contracts from each state. We will, you know, honor the licensure of each state, and people can move freely between and settle freely within their lands. I think that would be a far better thing than what we currently have, you know, going.
That's not that much less than what the Constitution actually
is sort of supposed to be, right?
Right.
Right. That, yes. But they've, you know, they needed to build this giant apparatus, you know, the EPA, the IRS, and all these other things that go into it. I also think that the federal government, if it focused on providing simply military protection for a given landmass, would likely attract other provinces from places like Canada and Mexico and maybe even around the world, where basically their services as a protection agency would be appreciated. It's the rest of the stuff that people are upset about, not the fact that they provide protection.
So what you're saying is you want the federal government to act as one big security company, pretty much?
I think that would be preferable.
Yeah, but they suck at everything that they do. Yeah. So, I mean, their protection is putting us in grave danger by virtue of the fact that they are over-invading other
That's
countries.
The State
but they're
Department.
Not intending to act as a protection agency. They're intending to act as a Federal Reserve Notes value keeper
Proper
agency.
Upper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so the military is used as an arm of the State Department, right? The State Department has goals.
And the
for
military
the
industrial complex.
Okay, that too. Yeah. If the whole world adopted the U.S. military, there'd be nobody left to bomb and invade. Do you understand?
Well, that's a ridiculous statement. That's never going to happen.
Yeah, I have to agree with Ian on that one.
Ian.
What? I have to agree with Ian on that one, but I don't see the federal government. If all the federal government is at that point is one big security agency, why can't the free market have a security agency?
Who said they couldn't?
You're making it out to seem like the federal government would be like the monopoly security agency.
Liberty lover, I'm not advocating for state solutions. I'm advocating for less government. So if we can get less government at any point, I'm for it.
Hey, thanks for the call, Stefan. Appreciate it. More coming up here. You can share your thoughts. Our number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733, whether it's on secession or these crazy cops. More coming up. Free Talk Live.
Do you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Join Dash. Dash is digital cash, a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy. Fees are low and transactions are confirmed instantly. Dash is decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Help people take control over their financial future today. Find out more at dash.org.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves by bringing up whatever's on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype. You can Skype in here at username lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
And how'd you like to try out what might be the best pillow you'll ever use? You can do that risk-free or near risk-free for 60 days. I say near because, well, if you return it back to them, you do have to pay the price of shipping to ship the pillow back. But if you don't like it, they will send you your purchase price back over at MyPillow.com because they really do believe in their product and they think that you're going to love it. So you go to MyPillow.com, use code FTL, like Free Talk Live, And that's how you get 50% off of the MyPillow, which is designed to fit to the shape of your body and hold your neck in the proper position. We've been using it here, Mark and I. We've got one each and been using them for about a year now, and it's been great. You can also put it in the washer and dryer. It's designed for that. It's an amazing product, and it's also guaranteed to last you for 10 years if you decide to keep it. And again, you got 60 days to make that decision. Once you get yours at half off by using code FTL, like Free Talk Live, over at MyPillow.com. That's code FTL at MyPillow.com. As we continue here, let's talk to Bad Slave in New Hampshire. Bad Slave, are you with us?
I hope so. Can
yes,
you hear me good?
We have you loud and clear.
Alrighty, good. I just listened to you and Melanie and Mark talking about federal powers, and Mark was saying, well, he would be happy with a security agency to defend us, and as if that's what is supposed to be in place.
By the Constitution, that is what is supposed to be.
Well, no, by the Constitution is the standing armies are only up for wars and are disbanded during times of peace.
It doesn't say that.
That was a suggestion, but the people who wrote it, they wanted an army. They wanted a professional army. Alexander Hamilton in the Federalist Papers was 100% clear. He wanted a small standing army.
A jerk.
He's a jerk.
Well, you kind of have to be to start a government.
The federal government was allowed to have a navy and I'm all for that. I would rather it be funded voluntarily, but the deal is that the standing armies are exactly what we will produce in having a continuous war. If you have standing armies, you will have continuous war.
They're more likely to use a standing army, for sure.
That's exactly what the story in 1984 was all about, amongst a whole bunch of other things. But the fact is that we can't have standing armies because they are too dangerous. We have to.
If there were a voluntarily funded navy or army or whatever security force would be, then it wouldn't be as dangerous because they would only be able to do what their customers were demanding that they do. They wouldn't be able to go. So they could be standing, but not as dangerous as your typical standing army, because the standing army that is funded by the state is funded through the printing press, where they can just print up as much money as they want to and have them go on all kinds of missions all around the world to protect oil fields and poppy fields and whatever it is that the politicians deem them to do. But if it's if they have to rely on their customers to pony up cash, or their supporters, or their volunteer supporters, then if they've got a bad idea, like, oh, let's go start a war with Russia, and people are, their customers say no, or their supporters say no, we're not going to fund that, well, that's the end of that proposal. Whereas with the government, if they want to go to war with Russia, they just print up another $1 trillion, and then they go to war with Russia, and that's that.
I have to challenge that, Ian, because the fact is that if there is this big centralized, and you know how centralized things go, right? I don't even call it the federal government anymore. I call it the central government. Hmm. The central government is a dangerous operator, and a central standing army would be equally as dangerous, no matter how it was funded, because they'd be bored to tears. The right answer is the community militia, and a whole bunch of them all over the place, voluntarily.
Yeah, but you can't force people to not fund a centralized force. So, while I may agree with you that decentralization is the preferential way to organize things, There may be people, let's say the militaristic supporters out there, who want to see a big military, and if they pony up enough money, that's exactly what they can have. I mean, you and I shouldn't be able to say that they can't.
Well, no, no, I'm not saying that they can't. I'm saying that our efforts voluntarily we ought to say, hey, listen, wouldn't it be better if a bunch of guys in the neighborhood, you know, we trained, we had
fun. You're saying persuade those people. Sure, by all means, try to persuade them out of having a big centralized military. I don't think you're going to be able to do it.
The centralized crap is way more expensive. I mean, look how much they're spending.
Sure, but again, you're ignoring the fact that they are a monopoly right now. What we're talking about would be people voluntarily supporting an organization because they believed in whatever mission that they had, which is different from the government where they can just force people to fund it through the printing press. So they would have to be more efficient. I mean, out the gate, they would have to be more efficient because of the volunteer funding.
The Constitution actually limited the activity of the central army that existed whenever it did, you know, for their 2-year time period.
Right. Well, the legislature, which gets together far more often than every 2 years, has to do is put together a funding act. The Military Funding Act of 2017, and then wham, they're funded.
National Defense Authorization Act.
Yeah, that one.
Is what it is.
It's the Constitution was an utter failure on the idea of eliminating a standing army. Well, and it wasn't intended to be.
I disagree.
There's nothing to disagree about on this one.
No.
The Federalist Papers, written by Jay Hamilton and by Madison, these guys were clear what they wanted.
Abel, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733.
I think the idea of a militia, which I support, is an interesting idea, and that militias are tough to beat. However, if you were dealing with a military as large as the United States, and you were fighting, say there's two United States that go to war. One of them is a militia-run organization with no particular centralized capitals or anything like that, and the other one is the army that we have today, the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and all that other stuff we have today. The militia people are going to have one hell of a time dealing with automated killing robots in the sky. I'm sorry. With aircraft carriers, which are the size of cities, essentially the functional definition of the Death Star sitting, off your shore so far you can't do anything about it.
Yeah. I mean, there are people who are going to want that. So for every bad slave out there who appreciates the idea of a militia.
And I appreciate him.
And decentralization and all that. There's going to be people who see the benefit, or to them, they see the benefit of having the big toys, right? They want to have the aircraft carrier. They want to have the jets. They want to have the tanks. They want to, there's a bunch of people who are obsessed with that kind of militarism and that technology. So those people would fund.
I think they'd be less obsessed once they had to start paying for it.
I think you may be right about that.
It's not going to be individuals paying for it. It's businesses that would be paying for those.
Well, then whatever. They still would be paying through their customers. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. You can talk about the military or whatever's on your mind. It's Free Talk Live. Dial in toll-free and bring up anything that you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733, the Free Talk Live AMP program. It's hurting. We're down below $2,900 per month, and that's down from our, I think we hit a record of like $4,000 or $4,100. That was years ago. We've been sort of slowly hemorrhaging ever since. Basically, what will happen is we'll get new AMP signups in 1 week, but unfortunately, a lot of times we'll lose more than we gain. And that's okay. People are, it's understandable why people have to stop AMPing the show. Sometimes you run into a patch of hard time, you lose a job, or you got to tighten the belt, tighten the budget. And frequently, amp is one of the things that people will cut when they're doing belt tightening. So it's understandable. But unfortunately, when we're losing more than we're gaining, slowly over time, that means that eventually cuts are going to have to be made. And I don't want to do that, which is one of the reasons why I've been basically subsidizing the AMP program from other funds for a while. So there's certain things that we do with the AMP money that you can see over at amp.freetalklive.com. And I don't want to stop doing any of those things. So there's the amount of money that comes into AMP is less than the amount of money that is being spent on the stuff that AMP supports, is what I'm saying.
Am I going to have to look at your books? Is that what's going on here?
And eventually, if, well, you can look at the books, but you'll see that the numbers have been going down. Eventually, if the numbers go down far enough, I'm going to have to cut something out. Maybe I'll cut the Talkers Magazine advertisements out. That's $500 a month right there. I don't want to cut Daryl. He's pretty important to us. There's another guy, Skip Jokel, who is an industry pro who helps bring
helping
radio
stations
on board. That's $600 a month right there. I could cut him. I don't really want to. So that's why I say I'm continuing to, do those things, even though we don't have all of the money, and could cut out a satellite channel, have Africa go dark for real. As far as the satellite signal is concerned.
Is the satellite part of AMP?
Yeah, it is. We don't make enough money on the satellite fundraiser to cover the satellites. So
I don't think that's completely fair. I mean, that's not advertising, marketing, and promoting Free Talk Live.
No? Okay. Well, the fact is it's helping Free Talk Live reach new ears, which is the point
of the
AMP program.
The AMP program's down. That much is true.
The point of the AMP program is to help Free Talk Live reach new people, and that's what the satellite signals do. But regardless, at this point, something's going to have to get cut if this keeps going in the wrong direction, unfortunately. And I don't relish having a conversation like this. If we had more signups per week than we were losing, then we would be growing. Week after week, even slow growth week after week would be better than slow dropping week after week. So if you want to help us out, your support really helps this show be as successful as it is. We have over 160 great radio stations. We just signed a couple new ones on today. Just had an agreement come in from a new station that I can't yet announce, but they're going to be joining us in June. So we're constantly reaching new ears with Free Talk Live. And, the AMP program makes that possible. It's a way for you as a listener of the show to directly support what we do. Now, we have some great advertisers as well, and they help us out. But the AMP money does go directly to helping spread Free Talk Live, helping spread the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM, and all the ideas of peace and freedom that are contained within those programs. So you get perks. You get access to the AMP-only call-in lines, the AMP-only podcast, the AMP-only Facebook group, and more. You can go and get signed up at amp.freetalklive.com. I sent out an email about this as we do a weekly newsletter, which you can sign up for over at freetalklive.com. And I sent out an email with sort of the same information, and I said, hey, if you've got any suggestions, please, let me know, ian@freetalklive.com. Maybe there's something we could be doing better, because, to me, if we're not getting support from the listeners directly, then maybe we're doing something wrong. Maybe that's, because obviously some people are going to...
indication, right?
Some people are going to drop off just because that's life, and some people are going to come on, and that's just how things go. But if it keeps going down, then maybe that's an indicator that we're doing something that we could be doing better, or we're not doing something that we should be doing. So I'm happy to hear some ideas. Besides one rude email that came back saying, stop being dishonest. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. I asked the person what that means, and he hasn't responded yet. But there was another one from a former amper who said he has signed back up, which is great. I mean, it's wonderful when people who formerly amp the show come back on, especially people, even if they don't listen, because they'll listen to the show for a while and they'll sort of move on to other things, but they'll still support what we're doing because they know we're reaching new people with the ideas of liberty in a way that no other radio show is doing. I mean, unfortunately, there is no other show that is in the position of Free Talk Live. It'd be great if there were. It'd be great if Freedom Fiends were on 150 radio stations. They're not yet. And so we're the ones that are up at that level. We're the ones doing the open phones panel discussion format of show. And so dollar for dollar, we're probably doing a better job of reaching new people with the ideas of liberty than a lot of the libertarian think tanks out there are. as far as reaching the average Joe American.
Probably true.
Yeah.
Many of the think tanks focus on young people, and I think there's a good reason to focus on young people, but it's not like old dogs can't learn new tricks. As a matter of fact, that's been disproven by science. Yeah. Old dogs can learn new tricks, and Free Talk Live delivers radio programming to AM stations full of old dogs, FM stations full of dogs that are aging like me, and podcasts which are full of not quite as young as college age students dogs.
So
sorry for calling the listeners dogs.
One of the other suggestions, well, I guess it wasn't really a suggestion. There was one of the former ampers who signed back up because of the email. So thank you for doing that. He had said that he liked the Weekly Digest. You remember Ben Bartholomew, one of our listeners, was putting together a Weekly Digest in the past,
yep,
which he did for about a year. And, it was a lot of work to boil down a week's worth of Free Talk Live into an hour long or however long it was, digest.
Now Riley Blake's doing it.
Format. Well, Riley's doing a daily digest.
Daily digest.
And, yeah. And so what I said to him back was, well, we did have that Weekly Digest, and I'm glad you liked it, but unfortunately, not enough people stepped up to, donate to Ben. Because he put his donation links in the descriptions of those digests, and it just wasn't enough, right? There's people's time is worth something, and he was basically doing that just kind of because he loved Free Talk Live and wanted to provide that service. But if you want someone who's a volunteer to continue volunteering for a long period of time, it's nice for the volunteer to get something out of it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it didn't happen. He right. didn't get enough out of it, and so he decided to call it quits. And then Riley, who is the blind gentleman who occasionally calls the show, he started up the Daily Digest, several months ago now? I don't know if we're quite at a year on that, but it seems
like close.
It's going for a while. And so that's even more work. I don't know what kind of contributions he's been receiving, hopefully enough, because he's continuing at it, and I appreciate that. So I let our new old supporter know that the Daily Digest is a thing. He hadn't even heard about it. So he was very happy to find out that was back. Anyway, if you want to help out the AMP program, please go to amp.freetalklive.com. You get the perks, you get the benefits. As far as like other perks and benefits, again, I'm open to ideas, just keeping in mind that we're already loaded up with work over here.
Right.
What else can we add to the mix that is special? Because again, our business model is to give everything away for the most part. There's not special audio just for the amplifiers. There's just the special amp only podcast, which doesn't have the commercials that the regular podcast does. So you do get something different. It's just that it's not different content.
Right. We don't want to keep the podcast from people because the podcast helps bring the ideas of liberty to people. We want them to get it. And I would hope that the people listening want people to get the ideas of liberty, too. A great way to get more people to get those ideas of liberty would be to give to the AMP program at amp.freetalklive.com.
Right. I mean, we're going to keep doing this regardless of which direction the AMP program goes. But it would be nice to be able to add more stuff, right, to add more outreach or advertising or whatever we could do to help spread more Free Talk Live. We could do that if we were growing, but unfortunately, we're not. And we could use your help. amp.freetalklive.com. Let's continue here. You can take control of the airways and bring up whatever's on your mind. We were talking earlier in the hour about the policeman who has been fired because he didn't shoot somebody, a suicidal man that, Melanie, you were telling us about. Do you recall where this story was taking place?
It was, I'm going to double check before I guess, West Virginia.
Okay, West Virginia. And they fired this guy because he would not shoot a man who was not a threat to him.
Who was not being threatening. And so when you don't have a police badge and you shoot someone who's not threatening you, or in some states when you shoot someone who is threatening you, that's called homicide. But apparently, if you're a police officer, it's a terminable offense.
It's a job requirement, apparently.
Yes.
If you don't shoot the suicidal man who has a gun somewhere, you'll get fired.
Well, in this case, the suicidal man leveled the gun at the second cop. That's why he got
but
shot.
But they're saying the first cop should have shot him before any of that happened.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like the first cop should have been fired.
Exactly. That's what the scariest part about is that there's some sort of departmental policy saying just shoot anyone who's suicidal who has a gun somewhere. 855-450-FREE. It's Free Talk Live.
North to Port is a liberty-inspired fiction podcast about a band on tour. Each episode chronicles the band's adventures in the form of a radio interview at a tour stop location. Listen as North to Port explores liberty themes in friendly ways, with humor and music. To listen to the podcast and the accompanying album, please visit northtoport.com. That's NORTHTOPORT.com. Or just search North to Port in your favorite podcatcher.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves here. Dial in toll-free and bring up whatever's on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
Back to your phone calls and thoughts. We've got, and then coming up, the FCC chairman is being targeted by the alt-left. First up, Ben is on the line in Canada, calling on one of the amp lines. Hello, Ben.
Hey. So you were talking about how you've been losing ampers, but also I think also the talk radio industry is also losing listeners, so that could play a factor.
No, they say that the Trump bump has continued. So talk radio had a bump in listenership, as it always does during the election season. Generally, talk radio stations will have their ratings go up during that time frame, and then they'll kind of peter back off after the election happens. What they've been saying in the industry, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Mark, is they've been saying that the bump has continued, that the listenership is still up even after the election.
The one thing
have
I haven't...
Seen that?
That is correct. The one thing I haven't been able to do is do a sort of a 10-year or 20-year comparison in time spent listening, or what they call TSLs in the industry. We on Free Talk Live don't have the $30,000, have never had the $30,000 a year to drop on numbers. So I can't.
On hiring Nielsen ratings to give you the.
So I can't pore over these numbers as I was trained to do, when I worked for iHeart or Clear Channel, what is now iHeart Media. But I can tell you that the numbers that come out within the industry, the sort of articles about the numbers that they've seen, it's not really numbers, indicates that talk radio is as pervasive and listened to as it has been for some time. But I don't know if that's based on cumulative listeners, which just means the amount of people who listen in a given week, or time spent listening. To me, it would be disingenuous to just give cumulative listener numbers and say, hey, look, we got more listeners than ever, if the time spent listening was down. So the caller could be right, but I don't have any information one way or another to sort of prove you right or wrong. Go ahead.
It was just a theory. Anyways, I have a couple suggestions. I was a previous listener like 3 years ago, and then I kind of dropped off. But I've recently started listening again. And one part of the reason I dropped off was because I felt like the content was becoming a little too routine, just because the way you have it structured.
What was routine about it?
Changing it.
Like, what part was routine?
Open lines all the time, plus 7 days a week.
What would you, that's
routine.
Sort of the gimmick behind the show, is that we're an open line show. Would you rather us close the lines
and talk to interviews?
Well, maybe do more interviews would be a suggestion. Another suggestion, which might kind of put you outside of the talk realm, but also diversify you a bit, would be to, bring on liberty-minded artists that would be just willing to perform
music,
or just for
you talking about music
for like your audience.
You're talking about music
access, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so one of the problems with interviews is it's not that I'm against interviews.
Interviews are a great way to sort of cross promote. That's one of the benefits of them, is that so-and-so interviewee.
Right. You bring on Tom Woods. Tom Woods mentions he's on Free Talk Live.
Right.
And then you know, some of his listeners come over to listen.
I mean, the reason why Callan Diggs is here in our studio is because he heard us on Alex Jones years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's something to that.
So interviews, I'm for. It's just that there's some difficulty. So with Free Talk Live, all of us look at the news day in and day out, and we find the stories that we want to talk about. We bring them in. Ian decides which ones are going to go at what time and whatever. And that's the show. Like, it's easy to do because we're all here in the same room. One thing that's difficult is when you bring on an interview is you never know whether they're actually going to show up, right? So you bring on whoever this person is, and life happens for that person as it happens, and then, you know, you promote it. Tom Woods will be on Free Talk Live tomorrow night. Call in and listen, right? And then, you know, Tom Woods has he gets caught in traffic, or there's some kind of family illness, or he just forgets. And I don't know why I'm picking on Tom here. And this is one of the difficulties, is you don't know what you're going to get when it comes to interviews. I get that Free Talk Live is hard to listen to in the sense that there's 21 hours a week to listen to live and 14 hours a week to listen to recorded. But I guess the shtick that we bring is that anybody can call in and talk about anything they want, and there's no other libertarian radio program, radio, podcast, or otherwise, where that sort of happens on a broad basis.
Yeah, and I agree with that gimmick. Interviews, and then for the music stuff, it would be they would have to do it just to be able to get their message to a libertarian audience and get their art out to a libertarian audience, which might be a challenge in of itself.
I do have a podcast package for artists, so it's very low cost, and
that's where we put their song at the end of our podcast, right?
And their, you know, or their little story or whatever it is that they want. And
how's that worked out for them, by the way? Have you got any feedback?
Oh, they're all very happy with it.
Okay, good.
It's a great way to get huge exposure, and they usually it's what they call cherry picking, right? So you wouldn't want to do it for the same thing every time, but if you're putting out a new song every 2 months or something, then you can continue to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, like I said, very low cost as far as our ads go. I mean, I'm sure there's shows out there where you can get ads for nothing. But, you know, Free Talk Live, I can't remember what the ad package is, but it's one of our lowest packages. Because I understand that libertarian-type artists, liberty-oriented artists, are not going to be people who have made a ton of money up to this point. They're going to be people who have a regular 9-to-5 type job, and then they do this stuff on the side, and they want to reach other libertarians, and that we're a great method to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, anything else?
No.
Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate the suggestions. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733.
You know what I would do is I'd do interviews on request if somebody wanted to do sort of one-time amplifying for a particular liberty-oriented person of note. You know, I'm not going to just bring on any nut, but, you know, if you're like...
It has to be a famous nut, not just...
Right. Your nut has to be a nut of note.
So like Sarah in New Mexico,
no.
Who's on the line with us right now. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, I'm so excited that, can you believe that they're going to throw out the smokers from the Santa Fe Plaza?
What is that? Is that like an open air kind of public shopping place? What is the Santa Fe Plaza?
Well, it's like a city plaza where there's a grassy area in the middle, and there's restaurants and shops around. And so they could only smoke in the sidewalk, but they're going to throw them out. In the grassy center area.
So,
it's about maybe...
So hold on, just to clarify. They will not be allowed to smoke in the grassy center, but if they're on the sidewalks, they'll still be allowed to smoke in the Santa Fe Plaza?
Yeah, it's kind of like maybe they'll get to that next year. It's one step at a time.
There you go. One step towards tyranny at a time. Now, is this a government-run plaza, or is it a privately owned plaza?
No, it's city property. The whole park is city property.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. So basically, even though the smokers are forced to pay for the park, you don't want them to be allowed in the park.
Well, it's a community place, you know. So the thing is,
except for the smokers. They're not welcome.
The non-smoking community place. The non-smoking community pilfers and robs the smoking community in order that the non-smoking community needn't smell the effluence of the smoking community. Look, I don't like cigarette smoke much myself, and I gotta say that I'm happy when I go through a park and I don't smell cigarettes, but at the same time, I mean,
can we also stop dogs from pooping in the park too? Because I don't like to smell
that. You don't like to see it. Who wants to step at that stuff? You know what? Smokers are always such an easy target. Where do you want them to smoke if outdoors isn't the answer? You know, like
inside a respirator mask. Right? That way, the smoke.
Go to your car. Smoke in your car.
Thanks for the call, Sarah. Toll free number is.
But your kid can't be in there.
855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves here. Coming up, the FCC chairman, the new Republican FCC chairman, is being targeted by the alt-left, and we'll explain what it's about. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. Dial toll-free. Join us right here. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype. You can Skype into the show at Skype username lrn.fm. And with you here in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
And so again, bring up whatever's on your mind still to come. The FCC chairman, the new one that Trump appointed. He was an FCC chair. He was on the board of the FCC previously, but now he's promoted. He's being targeted by members of the alt-left, and we'll tell you what that's all about coming up. But first...
healthcare is a mess here in the United States, and I think most people would agree. Costs for health insurance have gone up, and I'm seeing headlines that you can probably expect it to continue to go up. But there is a free market healthcare company that can give you freedom from health insurance. It's not health insurance. It's a health. They have a sort of health sharing program with some really great add-ons. It's healthexcellenceselect.com. They can give you a proactive health assessment daily if you want it. No charge, 24-hour access to doctors. Are you getting that now? HIPAA has messed up medical records so much that one doctor doesn't know what the other ones are doing. How about a medical information card that you can give to EMS or first responders, the emergency room, or whatever medical professional you want to give them to? You check them out right now. HealthExcellenceSelect.com. And the costs, so much better than health insurance. If you're self-insuring at this point, or even if you've got high copays, or, you know, I don't know what the terminology is, but you've got to pay for part of it and it's that payment's high, check them out. $600. I believe it's less than $600 a month for families. HealthExcellenceSelect.com. Any kind of doctor, traditional, integrative, chiropractic, acupuncture, massage. Is that what you're getting from your healthcare company? Because I bet it's not. You'll love the service and the price. HealthExcellenceSelect.com.
All right. Our toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. So the story from FreeBeacon.com, where members of the alt-left with a history of participating in violent protests are now targeting the neighborhood of the Federal Communications Commission Chairman Ajit Pai. The organizers connected to Disrupt J20 and Code Pink said they are, quote, taking the fight to Pai's door and leaving leaflets on doors in Pai's neighborhood last weekend to protest changes to the Obama administration's net neutrality policy. Did you guess it was going to be net neutrality?
Oh, I knew it was.
You knew. All right. So on Sunday, activists will target...
I got to say, net neutrality is one of those topics that I do not entirely... you know, for me, the libertarian answer isn't... the greatest, because we don't exist in a libertarian world, and the internet wasn't a libertarian created communication device. It was a government created communication device. Mm-hmm. And so just pulling the restrictions off of ISPs, internet service providers, and saying, you know, do whatever you want, it's the free market, to me just doesn't seem like the greatest answer in the world. The Electronic Frontier Foundation agrees with me on this one, but I just don't have the greatest...
So you're saying EFF supports net neutrality?
Yes.
Okay.
We've had them on the air saying so.
Hmm. All right. Do you know what net neutrality is, Melanie?
Last time I heard of it, which is about 4 or 5 years ago, the one that they were trying to push then said that you had to offer all speeds at the same price, and then you couldn't basically charge for more for things that took up more bandwidth. So I have to charge the same amount for somebody playing Netflix or watching Netflix all day as I do for somebody who checks their email once a day.
So that's not quite as I understand what it is. My understanding, and if you're out there listening and you're an expert on this, feel free to correct us here. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE. The idea was that was behind the scenes at an internet service provider that, let's say, Netflix, which is an incredibly popular company, which uses a good chunk of the internet, basically, like as far as the bandwidth that's out there. Netflix is a pretty big chunk of it, as I understand it. That Netflix is maybe willing to pay, say, Comcast or Spectrum, one of these internet service providers, to guarantee good service for their content. And the idea would
be
that...
That's something I would definitely pay Comcast for if I was going to pay Comcast at all.
Yeah, the idea, though, would be that, let's say there's a competitor to Netflix, LiveLeak. And LiveLeak is like, yeah, we don't have a bunch of money, we're not going to pay for this. Well, then Comcast might throttle them, was the idea. And again, I'm just using Comcast as a name. I don't know if they were threatening to do this or not. They probably were. But then Comcast could basically say, oh, well, you're not going to pay, are you? Well, we're just going to go ahead and shove you down to the bottom tier of information. Because if the information that is being transferred, some of it is given a priority over the rest of it, then that's good for the one being given the priority. If the other information below that is not, you know, there's a bunch of data that's trying to push through a pipe that has been purposefully made smaller to essentially restrict their data delivery to everybody else or to their customers or to the people who are asking for that information. That's the idea that net neutrality was supposed to fix, was that the net neutrality was the government coming down with a hammer saying, all right, Comcast, whack. Now you have to just let everybody use your bandwidth to whatever extent that they want to use it, and you can't charge them differently for it, was essentially my understanding.
At the same time, then Google, who is taking up a lot of space, is having to pay all the internet servers, where if I start a blog, I'm not going to get as good a product as Google is getting because I don't need it and don't want to pay for it. So it's the same thing from a different, you know, from the opposite perspective. So you're not charging the consumers more necessarily, but you're charging the companies for what they're using. If Netflix and Google want to pay to have this is never going to be interrupted service, I mean, there are services that, you know, cell phones, TV, well, not TV anymore, maybe, but you can pay to get a higher kind of being able to depend on it. So most people don't need that, so they don't pay for it. But you can pay. So, like, you know, when I buy a computer or a phone, it, like, specifically says I'm not allowed to use it for air traffic controlling. Okay, fine. I bet I can buy a computer that I am allowed to do that for, and I bet it's going to cost a whole lot more.
Sure, and there are different levels of internet access that you can buy. So net neutrality didn't say, oh, well, you can't have different tiers of service for the customer. They could still, for instance, you know, with a lot of internet companies, you can pay for the basic level of access, and then you might get, let's say, 20 megabits downstream and, you know, 1 megabit upstream.
Right, but,
or you can pay twice as much and get 60 megabits down, right, but, and 2 megabits.
But if Netflix is using 10,000 times more bandwidth than my hypothetical blog, why should I be paying the same amount as Netflix and Google, who have graphics and images and data streaming and everything else that you could possibly have?
Well, you're not paying the same amount.
When I have like a text website.
Yeah, but you're not paying the same amount as they are. You are.
I would be if they passed this law.
No, net neutrality is already a thing, and they're trying to undo it. And you, as a person running a website, a small website, you're not even being targeted by this. What they're talking about is going after, like, big companies, essentially, and promoting one's data over the internet versus another, and sort of throttling, meaning making, giving them less bandwidth, giving the other companies who won't pay less bandwidth. It's not something that would really even enter into the world of an individual who has a low traffic website. I don't think it would affect you at all.
Well, you're still going to be slow.
There's more coming up here in moments. 855-450-FREE. We'll talk about what the alt-left is doing to target this guy coming up.
Bitcoin.com recently reported Bitcoin transaction fees have increased by more than 1,200% since 2015. To many Bitcoin proponents, the current fee market is moving way too fast, making Bitcoin unusable for certain transactions. The fee market and slow confirmation times have also increased the tension concerning the block size debate. However, if there are wallets with low amounts of Bitcoin that can't cover the fees, they become virtually unspendable. Learn more at news.bitcoin.com. That's news.bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live, you can dial toll-free and bring up whatever you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well. And the Skype username here is lrn.fm. With you in the studio, you've got Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
Also, do want to let you know about Bitcoin.com. They're the most unique online destination in the Bitcoin universe. If you're buying Bitcoin, you can do it through Bitcoin.com. Maybe you just want to learn more about it. Well, it's a great place to get started in the world of Bitcoin. Or maybe you're old school. You've been around for a while. You want to get the latest news on what's happening with Bitcoin. You were just checking Bitcoin.com for the news earlier tonight, Mark. You go to Bitcoin.com. You can do all of that there. Plus, you can even play games with your Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. There are no bigger Bitcoin believers than the Bitcoin.com team. And that's why their site is a one-stop shop for everything that you need to get into Bitcoin life. Learn more at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com. As we continue here, the story about Ajit Pai. He is the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, was appointed chairman from being one of the board members after Trump took over the FCC chair. I only know this because I follow the industry radio industry newsletters, and they kind of have an eye on the FCC. So what happened after Trump got elected was two of the Democratic commissioners on the FCC, they left on their own. I think one of them's time ran out and the other one like resigned. So there were five chair people, and now there are not chair people, but five board members, and now there are three, and two of the three are Republicans, and one is a Democrat. The one of those two Republicans is Ajit Pai. He was promoted to the chairman role, and now he's got people targeting his neighborhood with what they're calling a vigil to save the internet. Quote, join us this Sunday for a hashtag save the internet, hashtag net neutrality vigil outside of FCC Chairman Ajit Pai's house, says the Facebook event organized by Protect Our Internet. The invitation notes that, quote, in all caps, this is a completely legal action protected by the First Amendment. And I do agree with them that it is. I've gone to people's neighborhoods and protested before. I've been outside of Judge Burke's house here in Keene. I've been outside of Fenton Moore's house, who was one of the police officers that you see in Derek J's victimless crime spree. That was the officer that knocked Derek off of his bicycle.
If you haven't been protested by the protesters here in Keene, you're just not a very good government bureaucrat, from what I can tell.
It's actually been a while since we've had one of those target the home things. But then again, it's been a while since we've had a really egregious violation of one of the activists around here. So it's been done. This is sort of part of the history of some of the activism around here. And the idea is take it home to them. Don't let them get away from their responsibility for the actions that they've taken just because they go home for the night. And so I can understand where they're coming from here. I don't obviously share the same values that net neutrality is a motivating reason to go to someone's house. But obviously they think it is. And so we were talking about what net neutrality is. It is basically a forced leveling of the playing field, so to speak, by the government that essentially targets the internet service providers and says you have to allow all traffic neutrally. You have to not give one piece of traffic on the internet, one bit of data, any kind of preference over the rest of it. And you certainly can't allow them to pay to have that kind of preference. That's my understanding of what net neutrality is. And I'm with you, Melanie. I'm against net neutrality. I think that these companies should be able to enter into agreements to provide certain levels of service with other companies. And that doesn't mean that I am against the idea of having a neutral internet. I just don't want it to be forced. I just don't want
There's websites that don't necessarily need the kind of reliability and bandwidth that other websites need. I don't, if I start a vlog, I don't need as much bandwidth as Google. I just don't.
Sure. And they're not targeting you with this anyway. They're not coming knocking on your door saying, hey, we'll give you a better.
Google is saying, I would like to have more bandwidth than Melanie's blog and I'll pay for it. Why, like, why is that a problem? Because they need it, they want it, they can pay for it. I don't need it. I don't, you know, want it unless I'm being really
delusional. What they're saying is, so again, you got to take yourself out of this. Don't use your own blog as an example. Use a website that's a bigger site. So, like I gave the example of YouTube and LiveLeak. I guess it was Netflix and LiveLeak. But let's look at YouTube and LiveLeak. These are both online video delivery services. Both of them probably have fairly high bandwidth requirements. Likely YouTube already higher than, you know, much higher than LiveLeak. But still, you know, they're both competitive to some extent with one another to provide people with free video streaming services. And so the idea is that not only would they be allowing YouTube to pay for that priority routing, but they would also limit the bandwidth of the other organization.
That's really just rephrasing the same thing differently. So if Google uses more bandwidth than Life is Sweet down the street because it's a local cream shop, ice cream and candy, and Google is a search engine for, as far as I know, every language, or a lot of them, and one of those things clearly uses more bandwidth and clearly has a vested interest in having the reliability, and you're telling them, either A, you're not allowed to pay for this, or B, everyone has to have the same level. Like, so you're saying Life is Sweet and Google somehow qualify for the same level of bandwidth treatment, and that just is really silly to me. Because that's what net neutrality would do if...
Net neutrality would treat all packets equally, is the idea. Net neutrality.
That's kind of absurd.
So, I guess what I'm sort of hearing here is that what people want is they want the full internet that they've gotten up to this point, the way they've gotten it. Like, it's really nice to be able to go to Melanie's blog, right? And to use Google. It's nice to be able to go anywhere.
But it wouldn't be nice
if... some of these organizations would do is limit the places. You can believe that they would limit it. They would say, here's a package for reaching everybody's blog, plus everything else, and then here's a package for just getting Facebook and Google.
That's not what we're talking about here. And I'm sorry if I'm not being clear with my explanation. What we're talking about would be that that would be a different level. What you're talking about would be completely blocking off access.
Wouldn't that be something that would be allowable under these new FCC rules to give?
No one's offering that. At least not in the United States.
Ian, this is what these people are worried about. They're worried about the probable.
But it wasn't happening before net neutrality.
Yes, there was, because there used to be like the cell phone version of internet, which is why people were buying iPads and Androids specifically, because those came with the full internet, whereas your other lower tier phones had the cell phone version of internet, and it didn't cost as much.
In Africa,
yes, it did exist, but there are people who didn't want to pay that money, and I mean, that's their business.
You guys are talking about a consumer level choice versus an industry.
Unless you buy into then it's all consumers.
But it's two completely different segments of the market. What you're talking about, Mark, is the idea. Remember, we've talked about the Facebook only internet that exists in places like some countries in Africa, where you get Facebook, and it's free. You can pay more and get the full internet, but otherwise you just get Facebook, that kind of thing. That could exist here. Maybe it does exist here, and we just don't know about it. But that would be the consumer level of this person wants less service, so they pay for less service. This person wants more service. Net neutrality wouldn't have affected that, as I understand it. Net neutrality is about the back end of how the internet works. So it would be to where, if we're going to keep using your blog as an example, we can. It would be about, okay, you go to YouTube, it loads quickly, you know how it buffers on YouTube? Oh, that buffer's going nice and fast. Well, that's because YouTube might be paying them to ensure that that happens. Whereas if they go to your blog, then it might go slowly.
It's using more bandwidth.
Huh?
The reason it's loading quickly is because
The idea is that it's loading more quickly because YouTube would be paying for that behind the scenes. Whereas if you were to connect with LiveLeak, again, I don't like to mix the web examples. So if you were going to LiveLeak and it's loading slowly, that might be an indication that they aren't paying for that service. You're still going to get the video. It's going to come down. It's just it's not going to come down as quickly because they're not paying behind the scenes because there's no net neutrality. Do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. There's more to the issue.
If the consumers have a problem with it, it's not going to happen.
That's what I understand net neutrality to supposedly fix, was to prevent anyone paying behind the scenes for preferred service. Tell me what the more is coming up. Free Talk Live, dial on in toll free and join us here. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and you can Skype on in here at username lrn.fm. With you in the studio, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
All right, so we're going to continue discussing net neutrality. I've laid out what I believe the issue to be with net neutrality, but Mark, you say it's bigger than that, and you might be right. We're going to get into that coming up here in moments, but first.
Yeah, I want to tell you about Whole Food Multicomplete. This is a supplement I've been taking now for several months, and I call it a multi because it's more than a multivitamin. There's more than vitamins and minerals in it. There's enzymes and probiotics, antioxidants, bone enhancers, a whole variety of things that you need on a daily basis to make your make you healthier. Now, immediately when I started taking it, I noticed, my digestive product was better than it had been in a long time, right? Like digestion was going better for me than it had. And that in and of itself makes it totally worth it. I also lost, I think it was 14 pounds is the number I've settled on, accidentally. Like I didn't even realize why I had lost it. I'd seen this movie, The Gut, The Second Brain, or something like that, and then I'm like, oh, wow, that's why I lost the weight. It's because of Whole Food Multicomplete. And you know, these two things are amazing things to see from a multi, right? Like you go to the store, you buy some crappy synthetic multi. What do you see? Nothing. Because all you get is the smug assuredness that, you know, at some point or another, these vitamins are making you a little, safer, a little healthier or whatever. Well, I don't know that they are. I wouldn't claim that one way or the other. But I can tell you my life has been made better by Whole Food Multicomplete. And all this stuff is plant-based. It's not just sort of made up chemically. Just go to simplifymysupplements.com. And you can try it, too. You can try it at basically cost, because if you use coupon code FTL, you'll get it a 30% discount. And I talked to Russ over there, and essentially he's like, yeah, that's basically all my profit. SimplifyMySupplements.com. Then if you like it, you can get the next bottle, and you'll be paying full boat or whatever. But I think you'll find that it's worth it. SimplifyMySupplements.com. You get $60 worth. You get free shipping. SimplifyMySupplements.com.
All right, so we're talking about net neutrality and the targeting of Chairman Ajit Pai, the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, where some of the alt-left are going to his neighborhood. They're organizing an event for this coming Sunday where they'll be flyering people's houses with door hangers, for instance, and they will be standing outside on the sidewalk outside of his house, says the invitation. Bring signs, slogans, bring your mom, kids, your friends and family. They are opposing the idea of ending net neutrality, which really just started, a couple of years ago? It wasn't that long ago that we were discussing this issue.
Beginning the discussion.
Quite a bit of detail. But then during the Obama administration, the FCC put this net neutrality thing into place. And if we go to Wikipedia, they define it as the principle that internet service providers and governments regulating the internet should treat all data on the internet the same, not discriminating or charging differently by user, content, website, platform, application, type of attached equipment, or mode of communication. So I don't think that that would preclude having a Facebook-only connection for $1 a month or something like that, because that would be what you were signing up for, right? The idea behind net neutrality is that if you believe you're buying the internet, then you should have the whole internet without any kind of restriction.
Kind of misleading and committing fraud is a problem. So if you're like, hi, I'm Comcast, I'll provide you internet service for X amount of dollars a month, and then instead you're Comcast, okay, well, that's fraud. But if you're like, okay, this is everything at the highest speed, this is what they're, if you're being honest about what you're selling, there shouldn't be a problem.
One of the great things about the internet is sort of the leveling of the field when it comes to media. And this is what people love. Mm-hmm. They love the notion that Melanie can start tomorrow being the foremost voice on taxes and bookkeeping, U.S. taxes and bookkeeping, right? Like, she could start a blog that grows to the point that, she's the one that delivers the very best news on this.
Yeah,
it's possible. It's the dream, and it rarely happens, but it can happen. Yeah. 20 or 30 years ago, when you had newspapers and these other things,
there were gatekeepers in the way.
Yeah, what was she going to do? She was going to Xerox, some newspapers off, and
you'd have to get a syndication gig from King Features Syndicate.
But you still had to go through the man to do it.
That's right. The gatekeepers.
The fact is, you don't have to go through the man unless you consider WordPress the man, and you don't even need WordPress either.
Well, WordPress is open source. You can download that and install it on your own server.
There's
for free.
The only gatekeeper out there is the what's the organization that's I can.
And even they've been decentralized somewhat.
Okay.
They got cut loose from the U.S. federal government's control.
And so far, ICANN hasn't been really, it doesn't really clamp down too much on websites.
They'll steal a website, a domain name when the government demands do that.
That's the only thing they'll do is when basically the FBI shuts down a website.
But look at the Pirate Bay. I mean, they've had their domain name stolen countless times and they keep coming back.
Just keep on coming back.
So if you've got enough, stick-to-itiveness, you'll
get it done. And ICANN doesn't care enough to go after them. That's not their job. They're just follow.
Right.
So what these people want is they want the dream of the media, of the internet to continue to be provided. And the only way that's going to happen, look, if you can pay less and get what you want from the internet, I want the top 100 websites, whatever they might be.
Mm-hmm.
I just want the top 100 websites. Well, that's going to service most people. Because they're going to be able to go to Reddit and Facebook and Google and all these other things that they want to do, and essentially the internet will be destroyed.
But no one is proposing that.
Google's going to be kind of useless that's kind of the built-in kind of. I don't want to say checks and balances because that's a status concept.
You can't find anything if all you
want. No, that's not true. Google has all kinds of answers now. No, not true. If you look up mortgage calculator now on Google, they will give you results for a mortgage calculator, and they'll give you a mortgage calculator.
Sure,
there's a lot of things. If you ask for measurements, they will.
They'll do the measurements. They'll do the conversions.
They'll do the conversions for Ugandan shillings and all kinds of questions. Google will have an answer. And Google, once this happens, Google will then create websites for the vast majority of the solutions. Rather than being an advertising site, which is what they are now, they'll change into something else. Yes, this is the proposal on the table.
But net neutrality, as I understand it, doesn't prohibit a restricted thing if that's what you're paying for. If you say to...
So you're saying that this could happen now and that currently we are not being given a lower tier of payments of the top 100 websites because the market just hasn't figured it out?
There's not a demand for that in the marketplace.
Yes, there is. It's
not in this marketplace.
Are you telling,
where are the people clamoring for the top 100 websites?
Are you telling me that people wouldn't say, yeah, just give me
people in the United States know what the internet is?
Jesus, I can't even make a statement.
You already asked the question.
No, I didn't. Are you telling me that people wouldn't pay $3 a month for Facebook only rather than paying $30 a month?
Some people might.
Or it's $40 a month for a data plan on their phone.
Some people might do that.
I would say a whole bunch of people would.
In Africa, where this actually happens regularly, where people get either free or very low pay Facebook-only internet, they don't know any better. So the people in Africa, they're just, they're just coming out of...
Well, and they might not have $30 a month, whereas most people
There's that, too. But they also don't know any better. We read an article about this where there was a poll, a survey done of these customers asking them about, what is the internet? Most of them said Facebook, because that's what they know as the internet. That's been their experience of the internet. The idea that there's some large number of people in the United States clamoring to have some sort of shut-offs, shut down, reduced dramatically internet access, I don't buy it. I don't think. I mean, there's certainly somebody who would say, "Yeah, sign me up for that."
I mean, I think there's a demographic of people that would do that, and I think it's the same demographic of people who think that YouTube is for watching CNN videos.
But
it's just people who really just I don't want to say belong, but like would be better fitted for TV than the internet. So yeah, yes, the demand is there, and I mean, okay, fine.
But there's nothing that would stop that from being. There would be nothing, as I understand it, with net neutrality to stop them from marketing that as a separate plan. Because
then why are people so worried about it, Ian? Because is one of the things they state.
No, that's not what they're. That's not what I've seen them state. What I've seen them talk about is how they're throttling behind the scenes. I can go down this list of this Wikipedia article for you here, where it's the stuff that the internet service providers are doing quietly behind the scenes that makes these people angry. Like restricting BitTorrent, for instance.
Well, it's behind the scenes. It's slower now, it seems, to get to these tiny little websites than it used to be.
I don't know what you mean by that. Because right now, net neutrality is in place.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. It seems like it's slower than it used to be.
Well, you're going to have... Your case study doesn't factor into looking at the actual speeds of the internet. There's more coming up here in moments. Hour number three is on the way. It's Free Talk Live. There are lots of ways to listen to Free Talk Live. Our podcast has been around since podcasts began, and now the FTL feed is loaded with content besides our full show archives. Did you know that we make it easy for you to customize your podcast subscriptions? We have different feeds, one that includes only our full shows, one with just the Daily Digest, and one with just the Edgington Post. You decide what you listen to. It's quick and easy to customize your feeds at feeds.freetalklive.com. That's feeds.freetalklive.com. It is Free Talk Live, and you can dial on in toll-free to join us here at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and you can Skype in here at username lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
So you can bring up anything that's on your mind. I know, Mark, you wanted to talk about a print shop and some controversy over gay pride t-shirts. We can do that coming up here in moments, but we're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts first. Ralph is on the line. Hello. Are you talking to somebody there, Ralph?
Yes. What I was trying to say is Milan is always keeping it real. This is not Rachel Dolezal. You know, thank you.
You say Melanie's keeping it real?
For me and you, Melanie. Let's talk about the double standard, guys, okay?
Which double standard? There's plenty.
Well, this thing going on right now with Trump, okay?
What's going on with Trump right now? Hold on. Hey, do me a favor and back off your phone. You're shouting and it's hard to, it's distorting, so it's a little hard to understand you.
Okay.
This is why we need to get you on Skype, but you just won't do it. Anyway, what's going on with Trump? Right. What's the latest controversy?
Well, you know, the Russian foreign minister, Russian ambassador, who he met in the White House, handed this is the bogus claim that the fake news, fake media is saying, you know.
Okay, what happened with the Russian minister in the White House? I missed that part.
The Russian foreign minister and the Russian ambassador this last week sometime met with President Trump in the White
They
House.
Met with Trump, right. Okay. And what's fake right. news about and that?
This whole idea that some intelligence, report was handed over to the Russian foreign minister Lavrov and the Russian ambassador to this country. I mean, there is no basis for that because there were other people besides Trump in the Oval Office at the time that happened, and they dispelled that whole claim.
I would be really surprised if Trump had access to anything like that at this point.
Well, you know, it would not surprise me. I mean, he is the president of this country, so they should allow him to have access to this kind of material at this point.
Why wouldn't he have access to it, Melanie?
I mean, for something that's like an actual secret, I mean, I'm sure he has information. He probably knows more than me.
The President of the United States, you don't think he has clearance to see something that's secret?
You know.
Of course
you know,
he does.
Not the classification secret, but something that people actually don't know. There's plenty of things that are classified.
Right.
That
as far as the don't know goes, this is, you know, what this Russian thing sounds to me is Democrat for Benghazi. You know, at some point or another, the government will do its investigation. It will decide who's at fault for what. The heads will roll or they won't roll. And, you know, the callers to talk shows that want to talk about it are bloviating, honestly. We don't know. There's no way for us to know if Trump worked with some or some of his people and his staff worked with some Russians to throw the election. Well, you know, okay.
How is that different than any other election is kind of my thing. Like, right. I'm not sure why this is more bad than anything else if it were true.
Right. I mean, if the Swiss decided to, you know, donate to some super PAC, this is not legal advice, but I think that there are ways for them to influence an election, you know, with dollars and cents. Does it really make a difference if it was Russian hackers that revealed the truth of Hillary Clinton's emails or if it was some other group of hackers? I don't know and I don't care. The fact is the lady clearly attempted to throw the DNC's support behind herself and, you know, stop whoever would be on the other side.
And she was willing to do anything to do that.
Right. And the fact is, in my opinion, I shouldn't say the fact is, in my opinion, if Bernie Sanders would have gotten the nomination, then you probably would have had President Sanders because Trump won by, you know, a hair's breadth. And a lot of people didn't vote for Trump. They voted against Clinton. Clinton was the crappiest candidate possible, as was Trump. And if it would have been, I don't know, a run between Cruz and Sanders, I think it would have been a far more interesting race. But instead, we got the worst choices from both. And this is why democracy stinks.
Thanks for the call, Ralph. There's more coming up here, and you can share your thoughts with us. 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. All right, let's change gears, Mark. You've had this story for a couple days about a print shop owner who has been, I guess, told by, was it a court, that he didn't have to make gay pride shirts?
Yes, and I would like to make the point to anybody who feels like they call in and they don't get enough time on Free Talk Live that I have been waiting for days to get my story on. Like,
yeah,
days,
that's a good point.
And
good
days point to get my story on. Because we go to the calls here on Free Talk Live, even if it's somebody calling in about, you know, some nonsense about Russian embassies and, you know, whatever. We're going to go to that call. And the host, who has been waiting to bring the story, is going to wait.
Yep, that's true.
Frankfort, Kentucky, as reported by the Associated Press, a divided Kentucky appeals court panel ruled Friday that a Lexington business did not discriminate against an organization by refusing to print T-shirts for a gay rights festival.
Well, wait, how is that discriminating?
No, that works. The cake thing, because the cake, in the view of the government, although if it's a wedding cake, I kind of disagree with this, although I'm not a big fan of, you know, Southern racist gay-hating people, but in the opinion of the government, a cake does not make a statement. So you're selling a product that you sell already, and you're refusing to sell it to a specific demographic. With the shirts literally make a statement. So you're refusing to make a specific statement. They cannot force you to make a statement.
Oh, that's interesting. And that's you saying that without having read the opinion, right? That's like a pretty good prediction.
I don't know what the court said, but that's the law.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting prediction. But it's still discrimination.
It was a split decision Counselor Johnson.
Well, but the law is always opinion backed by God.
In the appellate court, not at the supreme level.
Okay, let's hear more about this.
So you were asking, why is that not discrimination? It's discrimination.
It is discrimination.
In a legal sense.
Yeah, you're discriminating by saying, I'm not going to do that.
It is discrimination in the definition of the word.
Yeah, but not legally.
Where, like, one has discriminating tastes, you know, that kind of definition of the word. Mm-hmm. Whereas the court has a specific legal definition of what discrimination means, and it did not fit that definition. This is one of those areas where, you know, the real world definition of a word is different
than from the legal land.
The legal land.
So what you're saying is, Melanie, if the gay pride people had come into the print shop and said, we want a bunch of blue shirts,
then they would have to sell it.
Then
to
they would
them
have
legally.
To sell it to them. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Chief Judge Joy Kramer wrote in her opinion that the city's ordinance prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation does not prohibit the owners of Hands-On Originals from engaging in viewpoint or message censorship. Kramer said the business objected to the message of gay pride, not anyone's sexual orientation. Thus, although the menu of services HOO provides, that's the hands-on whatever, provides to the public is accordingly limited, the censors certain points that and censors certain points of view, it is the same limited menu offered to every customer and not therefore prohibited by the fairness ordinance. So there you go.
So basically, straight people can't buy gay pride shirts either. Therefore, legally, it's not discrimination. This doesn't make a ton of sense. It makes a little more, bit more sense if you worship free speech in the First Amendment or the Constitution in general, I guess. And why people don't just go to... I mean, I guess it depends on where you are.
Because they want to shove a ball gag in somebody's mouth. That's what it's about.
What?
Yes. That's what these hands-on people, they don't want to make your gay pride shirt. And that's their business. Yeah. They're allowed to do that if they want.
But who wants
these
to shove
people
a ball gag?
They want to force them not to be able to have an opinion. No opinion for you. Right? That's what it comes down to. You will get the opinion we give to you.
And you will take my money.
I mean, would if the roles were reversed?
Go to a gay print shop. And get what you want.
If there were a gay print shop and a bunch of neo Nazis came in,
if there was a gay print shop,
I don't know. Not every town necessarily has a gay print shop.
Every town has the internet.
Yeah, I understand that. But my point was going to be that if there were a gay print shop and a bunch of neo-Nazis came in and wanted to have some sort of neo-Nazi fest shirt printed, they should be able to say no to that.
Agreed.
You know, more coming up here. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves here. This is Free Talk Live. Talk Live, and you may dial in toll-free and join us here. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well, so Skype on in here at username lrn.fm. Really excited to announce this new advertiser here on Free Talk Live, Dash. We've talked about Dash before on the show when we were at some of the Bitcoin conferences. I know we've interviewed the founder of Dash, Evan Duffield.
We started talking about Dash when it was worth like $42 a coin. It's now
we've started talking about Dash far beyond that.
We did the interview at Anarchapulco. It was at $42.
I remember we had Evan on the show long prior to that from one of the other Bitcoin conferences. I don't remember which Bitcoin conference it was.
Yeah, I guess we did.
We've talked about Dash in the past, probably when it was like, I don't know, 3 cents a piece or something like that. And, you know, back then, you know, my viewpoint was, another altcoin.
Yeah.
Okay. There's hundreds of those.
That's where I was, too. Yeah. You know, what I had to see was for an altcoin to claw its way out of the mud, you know, pass up the other coins out there and that sort of thing for me to get more excited about it. I also needed sort of a reason. And
We've never been the best investors as far as cryptocurrency is concerned.
I wouldn't claim to know.
We got dragged into Bitcoin thanks to Roger Ver, and we saw Dash kind of taking off. And what made Dash special was the fact that they were wise enough to program in this marketing budget into Dash.
Yeah, it's a bit more than a marketing budget. It's basically a Dash. It's not just marketing. Anything it can be used for.
It does more than
programming
that,
and a variety of other things. Marketing's built into
it. It's sort of like the AMP program for Dash almost, because they are promoting Dash, not just marketing it, but also promoting it within, like, trying to hire programmers to implement it within point of sale systems and things like that. So to try to spend money that is being generated by the Dash cryptocurrency system on the Dash system and to improve it. So that to me was like the really smart thing that Dash has done.
It's going to give it head and shoulders in many ways above the other currencies out there, because the other currencies can't advertise.
Their viewers or their
somebody
their,
can advertise
right,
for
their,
them.
Their users would have to market that, just in the same way that Roger Ver has put a lot of his Bitcoin behind promoting Bitcoin.
Yes.
In the same way that I do that here in Keene, where I take the money from the Bitcoin vending machine and use that to buy ads promoting Bitcoin locally. But it's getting so hard to promote Bitcoin because Bitcoin's it's hurting. Like, it's kind of broken. The fees are terrible with Bitcoin. And I just sent some Dash here tonight from my Jax wallet to the Dash Core wallet on the studio computer just as a test. And very fast in comparison to Bitcoin. The fee was like nothing in comparison to Bitcoin. And I was sending only about 9 cents worth of Dash. And the fee was a fraction of a fraction of that.
Mm-hmm.
So like a thousandth of that. So the fees are really great, just like Bitcoin used to be. And it's faster as far as confirmations are concerned. In fact, there's even an instant send option with Dash.
And there's built-in mixing, so it has a privacy aspect. I wouldn't claim that any currency...
Now, that's an option, right? You have to opt into that with your transaction with Dash.
You do, but it's sort of built in, and it's much more likely that you're dealing with a lot more
churn. It's
built
in as an option.
Yes.
You can use the private send as an option.
And
but it's not
the mixing.
It's not in every transaction.
Right. The private send is not in every transaction.
Right.
Okay. The mixing is not in every transaction.
Right. So, but learn more about it over at Dash.org. It's digital cash, which is what Bitcoin was supposed to be and is failing miserably at. Now, I think we all hope that Bitcoin can pull out of this, but the market needs to come up with something else. And it seems like Dash is that option. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies on the dollar. The transactions are fast. And Dash is decentralized. It's also run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and making governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. You can join Dash and help create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today. Find out more at Dash.org. And there's a lot of momentum behind Dash right now. Go to Dash.org and find out why.
Yeah, you can get involved in the Dash community. All you have to do is go to Dash.org and get started. There's all kinds of ways for people with all kinds of talent to get involved. And it certainly has paid off for the people involved up to this point. And with their...
good for them for having the vision. Right, where we
with their
don't.
New tech evolution that's coming out, I expect it to pay off quite well this year.
Yeah, I want to learn more about that over time here.
Yeah.
Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And you can Skype in at Skype username lrn.fm. Mark, you were telling us about this print shop. There were some gay pride advocates who came in. They wanted T-shirts made.
Yep.
They were told, nope, we're not going to do that. They brought them to court, and now an appeals court has said, yep, they're free to say no to this. The print shop is free to say no to this. And Melanie, you explained that it's because it is a viewpoint that the
government is not going to force the print shop to make a statement, which is...
That would be forced speech
right.
In that case. Even though they'd be paid to do it, but yeah.
Right. Well, I think that's a great example. When it comes to the wedding cake, a cake maker makes wedding cakes. When it comes to the print shop, a print shop sells T-shirts, so the Gay Pride Festival could come in and order a bunch of blue T-shirts. There's nothing the print shop could do about that. They couldn't say, we're not going to sell you blue T-shirts because you're a Gay Pride Festival. They can, however, refuse to write, we're here and we're queer, right, on the front of it. That's what they can refuse to do.
And I would imagine a cake maker could refuse to draw a phallus on a cake if that's what was, being ordered.
Right.
As well.
So I would say that if you had to put two men or two women on the top of a cake, that you are in fact being forced to make a some kind of positive statement.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, but that I'm of the opinion that you should be able to do what you want in your business.
And I agree
that it is a terrible idea to buy a cake from somebody who doesn't want to make one for you. And I don't know why the Gay Pride Festival of Lexington would possibly want to jam business down the throat of this company, this print company
that doesn't want it,
Hands-On Originals,
yeah,
when they obviously aren't big fans.
I mean, especially
of them.
Like in this situation, there's, and maybe if you live in a small town, especially in some areas where it's still wrong, but I can see why you would say, well, I have to go to this bakery because there isn't another one for 30 miles. Whereas you're waiting for the T-shirts anyway, you can kind of just go online and buy them from a faceless company who does not care what you
put
on it.
Sure, they don't have anyone in the community who's going to think one way or another, if it's anonymousshirts.com or whatever, they're not going to care about what... Because a lot of it has to do with the social pressures, right? Like, somebody in downtown Keene might not want to do business with Ian Freeman because I'm part of Free Keene. because they would get some negative heat from some of the other people.
People in town that would want that. Yes,
right. Because
but even you, as a well-known figure in a smallish town, it's not an entirely small town. It has a Walmart, but can find places to shop and give money to people who don't hate you.
That's true.
And
that's
maybe true. There are some gay people, you know, in Alabama or something who have a harder time finding that. But I don't think that's necessarily the case with T-shirts.
You said there's more to the story, Mark?
Yeah.
We're going to continue with it here in moments. Our toll-free number, if you want to join us, with your thoughts on discrimination. Now, just because I support someone's right to discriminate doesn't mean that I would discriminate or that I agree with the discrimination.
Yeah, one of the bakery that one of them went out of business who refused to serve the gay couple.
Interesting. 855-450-FREE. You can join us here on Free Talk Live.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free and you can take control of the airwaves with whatever's on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. With you tonight, you've got Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
And we've been talking about this situation in a print shop. What was the state? Where was it that this was happening? Kentucky?
Kentucky.
In Kentucky, that refused to print up some gay pride T-shirts. They went to court over it, which I just think is such the worst thing you can do. Just go take your business somewhere else rather than trying to force something down a business owner's throat that doesn't want to participate. Go take your business to someone who appreciates you, someone who's going to say thank you, someone who's going to, you know, be glad that you've come to them and ask you to come back, you know, when you need some more shirts done.
This is why the state is described by libertarians as a cudgel or a weapon, is because that's what the Lexington's gay and lesbian services organization, or whoever it was that put on the gay pride festival in 2012. That's what they were trying to use this as. This is supposition. I don't know for certain. They found the print shop, probably the one that had the little fish out front, and they said, we're going to make these people make our shirts. Make their shirts! Right? And that's how it goes with the wedding cakes and how it goes with this thing and that thing. And that's just, it's just sick. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have your festival. I'm not saying that you're bad for being gay. I'm saying the government's a weapon, and you're attempting to get other people to believe the way that you believe by using the weapon.
It's not okay, and it's going to turn against you at some point, even if you get your way. And in this case, they didn't. But even if you get your way and you force the poor print shop owner to make some undesirable shirt to him, eventually the tides are going to turn, and people are going to start forcing you to do things against your will at your business.
They did. Right, that's what happened to gays in the past, is that they couldn't have their bars and they couldn't do a variety of other things. How did it feel? Well, this is what it's like now. You know, when the pendulum swings, you should try to stop it in the middle. What is fair and what is right and what is just. And it is not fair, right, or just that you go make some Christian print something on a T-shirt they don't want to print. Now, I'm telling you from a show that gets all kinds of complaints from Christians that we don't treat them fairly. Okay, I'm simply believe
still
whenever I come out and say, you know, I don't believe that dumb book, and I make some point, right? Then you're ruining the liberty movement because you're isolating, blah blah blah.
Oh wow,
right, all the time.
You've ruined the movement too, huh, Mark? How about that?
I ruined the movement on a good
the
and regular basis.
Needs to be ruined. Yeah. It's broken.
So nonetheless, all I'm saying is that everybody should have the right to believe whatever it is that they want, and that they should get feedback from the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And let's go on here. Lexington's Gay and Lesbian Services Organization tried to order the T-shirts for the city's 2012 Gay Pride Festival. An owner of Hands-On Originals, Blaine Admonson, refused, citing his Christian beliefs. Judge Jeff Taylor dissented, saying that he thought the business did discriminate against the organization since its decision was based on sexual orientation and gender identity. The case stems from a ruling by Lexington's Human Rights Commission that found that the business discriminated against the organization. Lexington has a Human Rights Commission. Hands-On Originals appealed to that. There's something that Keene, New Hampshire hasn't gone undone yet. Fayetteville Circuit Court.
Don't give them any ideas.
Whatever it is, let's do it.
Yeah, let's create our own. Before they do it, let's create Keene, New Hampshire's Human Rights Commission.
Oh, I thought you meant that people in Keene haven't done, not that the Keene itself hasn't done. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, if we create the commission, though, once it's created, then the government will want to subsidize it. Yeah, that's because that's how they are. So that would be fun. Nonetheless, the appeals court affirmed that the lower court decision, the Hands-On Originals appealed to Fayetteville Circuit Court, which ruled in its favor. The appeals court affirmed the lower court's decision. The board of the Human Rights Commission will decide whether to ask the Kentucky Supreme Court to hear the case after reviewing the opinion. And certainly when cases are decided like this, they may set a precedent in future cases. Duh. Hopefully that's how the English common law works.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that will help here, but we'll have to take a look at this and see how they're going to handle it, says Sexton. Abramson told the newspaper that he would not object to printing shirts for gays or lesbians as long as the message didn't promote homosexuality.
I see.
So he didn't – look, if a gay or lesbian person comes in –
if a flaming gay guy comes in and says, I want some happy smiley face shirts,
right.
He would have printed them.
He would have printed them.
Yeah.
Or I like poodles,
yeah.
Or whatever. You know, that's a marginally gay statement. But nonetheless, he would have printed those for him. But it's the fact that it's a statement about the gay pride
right.
festival. So there you go. I don't leave my faith at the door when I walk into my business, Admonson said. In my case, fortunately, the legal system worked. And, you know, I don't support his position. If I had a T-shirt shop,
I don't even support his position as a Christian. I think that there's plenty of Christians who are welcoming and accepting towards gay people.
And, sure.
You know, there are even Christian churches that allow gay people to be ministers.
Well, I mean, that depends largely on where you are. And
sure.
But
he's in Kentucky.
People conflate the issues, and there's two issues here. A, should you hate gay people? B, should the government force you to not hate gay people? There's plenty of things that you shouldn't do. Like almost everything that the government should not force you to do or not do. And people conflate that all the time, which I think is just called statism. But
I was in a leadership, if you can call it a leadership, a service position for my church, my Quaker meeting.
Okay. Were, aren't you still?
I am no longer the clerk of my meeting.
Okay.
But, you know, as the clerk, I run the meeting for business. You know, I get to decide who talks when, you know, that sort of thing. And, I would have absolutely positively gone as a matter of fact, I refused, you know, I stood to say that we were not going to join Friends United meeting, that our meeting is not going to send support to Friends United
meeting. What is that?
That, as opposed to the Friends General Council. Okay, so Friends General Council supports gay marriage. Friends United meeting will not hire gays.
Oh, my.
So
there's some Quakers out there that are anti-gay?
Look, Quakers don't believe everything I believe, Ian.
Yeah.
90% of Quakers are fundamentalists.
I thought most of them were liberals.
That's here in
in New Hampshire, they have a church down the street that's painted, has a bench that's painted as a rainbow. In some other
that's
churches
UCC
and some other
church.
Places, different things go on. It's because
right.
you're in New Hampshire.
Okay.
It's not because they're Christians.
Right. Okay, so most Quakers in the world are in Africa. I believe it's Uganda, but I'm not 100%
really?
Sure. The FUM was very good at doing, you know, missionary outreach earlier in
okay.
the 20th century.
Huh.
And so most of them exist there. There are conservative Quakers, liberal Quakers, there's programmed Quakers, and there's
unprogrammed.
So you can be conservative or liberal and programmed or unprogrammed.
And programmed means there's somebody standing at the front of the room directing the
as
sermon.
A preacher.
And then unprogrammed is where usually it's just people sitting quietly until they're moved to speak, right?
My particular meaning is liberal, unprogrammed. Liberal would mean that we believe that God reveals himself regularly through the light within. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they speak through you, and that therefore the speech to other people, i.e. the Bible, is relevant and interesting, but not the end-all, be-all of God's word. That God's word comes through your heart, through nature,
sure,
and these sorts of things. So that's what a liberal would necessarily believe. A conservative would believe that the Bible is, you know, could...
The unending word of God or the unerring word of God.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't speak for the
conservatives. And then they interpret it to be anti-gay.
And right. And then
I mean, when it says to, like, not be gay, I mean, that's a pretty anti-gay statement in the
But is
Old
that
Testament
what it says?
Best I can tell, that's what it says.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus never says it, but the New Testament says it. I would tell you...
So some a-hole who wrote the book, or one of those books.
I would presume it comes from Paul. I'm not, you know, again, I haven't had a chance to study this and tell you one way or the other, but I would say that the likelihood that there was a Jew that came from Tarsus that somehow was on the Sanhedrin at the age of, like, 20 is so... absolutely ridiculous that is vanishingly close to a lie, but Christians believe that dumb crap to the end of the end of
someone's
the earth.
Hammering out an email right now.
Saul of Tarsus,
in Christ's name, I hate you. 855-450 free. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves, bring up whatever's on your mind in the remaining moments of Free Talk Live, which are coming up next. Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Just dial toll-free here at 855-450-FREE. 855-450-3733. Skype username. It's lrn.fm. And if you want to help us out a little bit and do a little shopping with Free Talk Live, just go to shop.freetalklive.com. You'll find links there to Amazon, US, UK, and Canada. You just go on into whichever Amazon's right for you and get your shopping taken care of. Free Talk Live will benefit because we get a portion of the purchase price when you go through that link. If you don't go through that link, you just go to Amazon.com, then we don't get anything and Amazon keeps it all. So if you want to help us out, this is an easy way to do it. You go to shop.freetalklive.com. It's Ian, Melanie, and Mark in the studio here tonight. If you want to comment on the gay t-shirt controversy, you're certainly welcome to do that. But in other legal news, this story I've been sitting on for a little bit, KansasCity.com reporting on a man who has filed an appeal in federal court and had it denied, that this convicted heroin dealer, Timothy Anderson, age 40, has said that the prosecution has violated his right of religious freedom. He's argued that federal prosecutors in St. Louis violated his rights because distributing heroin was, quote, an exercise of his sincerely held religious belief, unquote. Anderson's effort to present that argument at his trial was denied by a judge. A jury subsequently convicted Anderson, and he was sentenced to 27 years in federal prison. On Wednesday, the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals denied his appeal of that conviction, and according to Anderson's argument, he is a student of esoteric and mysticism studies. I'm not sure what that has anything to do with, you know, his belief that he should be able to distribute heroin, but I do support his argument here. Now, we'll give you the reason why the court rejected the claim here in a moment, but of course, I think the whole war on drugs should be over and that people should be able to buy and sell whatever chemicals they want to.
And then maybe they'd quit making ridiculous claims. Like, because there's a lot of people who find this insulting to their religion, and no one would have any incentive whatsoever to claim that this was religious if that wasn't the legal argument you could use to prevent from being caged.
Well, now, it could very well be religious. I wouldn't necessarily put that aside.
Yeah, but I kind of doubt it.
Okay, but you have for a long time, you've had cannabis as a part of recognized religions. You know, certainly there are some that are, you know, more recognized than others, but cannabis is pretty commonly recognized as, let's see, what the Rastafarian, for instance, that That's a religion, right?
Yep, yep.
And so that's one example. There's more than that. There's cannabis churches now actually out there. And some people absolutely use drugs for kind of spiritual enlightenment. It's not all about, you know, getting effed up. I mean, that's one reason why some people use drugs. But if your reason for using the drug is to go on a spiritual journey, then that's a completely different thing. Like the most, I guess, religious, some of the most religious experiences I've had was when I was on psychedelic drugs. And
which cannabis is not.
Cannabis is a mild psychedelic, actually. If you put it under, you put some good cannabis under a microscope, you'll see that the trichomes on it look like mushrooms.
Okay.
Yep. Interesting. So if
sure
you,
that's related, but all right.
How, what's related?
That they look like mushrooms.
Well, they
and
are,
you mean they look like the chemicals in mushrooms, not literally they look
no,
like...
No, they look like mushroom caps.
That's what he means.
No, oh, they look okay. like mushroom caps.
Okay, never mind.
I've seen it.
I tried to help that one. I can't
I've
save
seen it.
It.
Yeah, I know.
I've seen it with my own two eyes through a Radio Shack microscope.
Yeah, that's not how...
That's not how these things work. No, it's not a psychedelic because it looks like a mushroom. There's lots there's lots of mushrooms that aren't psychedelics. Are
yes,
you aware of that?
I understand that. Okay. But that doesn't, you know... That doesn't counteract the fact that it is considered a mild psychedelic.
You're right.
I took a dose.
It was
of,
just terrible supporting evidence.
Well, I think it's interesting, and it's not, you know, it's not uncommon for
no, okay,
a thing to represent.
I have to ask, when you looked at the microscope, was that before or after the mushrooms?
No, I didn't take any mushrooms on that particular instance. But it's not uncommon for things in life and nature to resemble at microscopic levels things that they are related to.
It's
and
not
so if
also not uncommon for human brains to look for patterns and recognizable
okay,
shapes
fair enough.
In random shapes.
No doubt about it. But nature is this isn't a random shape. This is nature. This is what, you know, has been created by whatever you believe. But ultimately, the fact that they have that similarity, I think, is striking. It was at least interesting
to
me.
Well, right, but I think that's more psychology than anything relevant to the chemical in weed because, like, so people see faces in things kind of most commonly because that's what we look for. Mm-hmm. We see patterns where there are not. We personify things and make them look, because we're looking for things we recognize, and so we see it a lot of the time, whether it's there or not, that is kind of a slight survival skill that might not be relevant anymore. But that's why it existed in the first place. The fact that they looked like mushrooms to you is really, really irrelevant to the chemical nature of weed.
I understand that it's irrelevant to the chemical nature of what the, you know, THC looks like chemically, but you know, visually,
he likes it.
It looks like mushrooms.
Yeah,
and it's a mild psychedelic. And let me tell you, you can have kind of a trip off of taking cannabis. I've done it. If you take enough of a dose orally of cannabis,
or if you have a high concentration enough, yeah, and it's definitely different at different concentrations. But
I ate some Rice Krispie cannabis infused Rice Krispies once. And I was tripping. I mean, really, I was tripping on these. And I say that as someone who has done actual psychedelics. It was the closest experience I'd ever had on cannabis to a psychedelic experience. And the walls weren't melting or anything like that. It wasn't that kind of a trip. It was just sort of the feeling of tripping. I had that experience from that. So yes, they are a mild psychedelic. Anyway, back to the story here. He said that he had created a religious nonprofit to provide heroin to the, quote, sick, lost, blind, lame, deaf, and dead members of God's kingdom, unquote, according to the appeals court
he's
ruling.
He's going to give heroin to dead people?
In rejecting Anderson's claim.
Spiritually dead, Mark.
Maybe he sprinkles it on there. You know, their corpse or their grave or something.
Yeah, whatever.
Like that. Again, this is esoteric, he says. He's into the esoteric things, which are, you know, things that people don't know anything about generally. In rejecting Anderson's claim, the appeals court found that the government had not violated the Religious Freedom Act because it had a, quote, compelling interest, unquote, in combating heroin trafficking, and that it had employed the least restrictive means of furthering that interest.
Yeah, that's about how it's going to be. So they've ruled pretty consistently, and this is federal court, and I've said some things to some people that conflict with what I'm about to say, but I was talking to you about state law. In federal court, or federal law, and if Missouri says no, then the feds aren't going to say yes. If whatever state you might be in says yes, then you're good, kind of. So they've pretty consistently ruled that they have a compelling interest in stopping people from doing drugs. So
screw your religious freedom. Screw the First Amendment.
Isn't going to work in that instance because of this balancing test that they've had for almost 200 years where they have to follow the Constitution if they feel like it, which is...
Yeah, and the balancing test is we do what we want and we use this as the excuse.
Right. So, yeah, drugs, especially if you're a dealer, like it sounds like he was, drugs, just saying that you have religious beliefs, not going to work unless your state is cool with that.
But if he actually did what he said here and created a religious nonprofit, at least he did take those steps to, you know, this isn't an after-the-fact thing, right? Like, this is, he thought about this in advance, and he didn't just cook this up while he was in the prison cell.
Well, and I mean, you know? I would also need to know, like, what else was going on in this religion. Because you have things all the way from a religion that predates the states, where this is a part of the totality of what they believe, versus the Sacred Church of Marijuana that had one belief and one belief only, and that was that you should smoke marijuana, and kind of everything in between.
Now,
so where you are in that spectrum kind of, it usually is not going to matter because you're usually just going to be denied anyway, but it matters, especially if you're dealing with state law, but it looks like Missouri said no, and the even if there is a Missouri law that said that he can do this, the feds aren't going to invoke it when he appeals it past the states. Because the feds aren't going to say, Missouri, you interpreted your law wrong. They're not going to do that. So
I got to give him credit. I mean, at least he did what he believed in. I mean, presuming he's being honest here, that he did really have a religious belief in this, and then he followed through with it. Unlike that wussy church from Indiana, remember a few years ago where they had the cannabis church where they made this big to-do about how they were going to smoke cannabis, but then when it finally came down to it and the police were outside, they didn't do anything. They totally backed down. So at least this guy followed through. He's got 27
years in
prison. At
least he followed through in dealing heroin. You can, just because the state's wrong doesn't mean you're a good person.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow night online in the meantime over at freetalklive.com.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing, to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. It's physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101reasonsfilm.com. 101reasonsfilm.com.